If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Within hours of this week's tornado disaster in Oklahoma, I, like many others, received emails from the President of the United States and my U.S. senators. With impassioned language, they both claimed to care deeply about yet another community devastated by cataclysm, and then the best way for America to respond is to support private charities. The work of non-governmental agencies no doubt is critical, and contributing money to them is laudable. But there is something troubling about government leaders initially implying, if subtly, that a non-governmental response is as significant as a governmental one. And there is something even more disturbing about that message being sent at a time when budget cuts and sequestrations engineered by those very governmental leaders threaten to prevent a more effective response to such disasters in the future. It all suggests that the anti-government Zieglist in America has become so powerful that public officials now feel compelled to downplay the public sector for fear of being tarred and feathered as a socialist, a Marxist, or an opportunist unduly politicizing a tragedy. This article written in WND, which is the World Net Daily, by David Sirota, and it seems that the media is suddenly turning away from Obama and the left, and the rush to do so seems to be getting more and more apparent all the time. Though those on the left will still deny it, I think. But this article touting how the left thinks the government is the entity to turn to for help, but that is not the way the media is going these days. And to me, the biggest one came today. Actually, it was yesterday. From Capitalism Institute came this one about the Huffington Post. Their latest article that I found was titled "Huffington Post Defends Fox News, Says Holder Must Go." Now, my idea on this is, when was the last time that you heard the Huffington Post defend Fox News? I mean, Fox News has always been a complete and utter enemy of the left, even though Fox News has a tendency to report pretty much the same things, but they do put other things in there. The extremely liberal website Huffington Post turned on Obama's Attorney General Eric Holder last night when it published news that Holder had personally signed a memo leading to a target on Fox News and a violation of the First, Fourth, and other amendments. Hello, Barbara. Yes, that means that the Obama administration is so corrupt and wrong when it comes to its attacks on the freedom of the press that liberal news organizations are uniting with Fox News to call for heads to roll. It's actually that bad. Townhall.com reported it even more. Their headline was big. It said, "Huffington Post, Holder Needs to Go." It was written by Katie Pavlich. May 24th, it says, as Guy mentioned, NBC News has reported Attorney General Eric Holder personally signed off on the secret monitoring of Fox News chief Washington correspondent James Rosen. Rosen's movements, personal and work phone numbers, personal and work emails, and even his parents' phone number were monitored. Now even the liberal Huffington Post is saying Holder must go. This is what the Huffington Post homepage looked like last night. The headline was, "Time to go. Holder okayed press probe. Then there's a folder, a photo of Mr. Holder, and under it, in red letters, it said, "The record, easy on banks, tough on peace activists, went after pot shops, soft on mortgage settlement, sanctioned drones, defended Aaron Swartz prosecution." Okay, things must be getting really bad for Obama and crew if Huffington Post is going to turn on them, huh? And still, the scandals keep coming. From the Blaze came this one. Scandals have snowballed through Obama years, and more may be coming, Representative Blackburn says. This was on May 24th also. It said after a month in Washington, where media forces focus was dominated by Benghazi attack investigation, the revelation that the Department of Justice has been seizing the phone records of journalists and the IRS was unfairly targeting conservative groups. And I don't know why. I must have washed my brain last night or my tongue, because I sure can't read worth a flying flip here. Yet another scandal is brewing within the Obama administration, this time at the Department of Health and Human Services. Just like we need another one. Representative Marsha Blackburn, Republican of Tennessee, says the growing controversy involving HHS Secretary Kathy Sebelius trying to raise money from companies that her department regulates ranks among the major scandals that are plaguing the administration. The funds raised would go to nonprofits that help people enroll in and get excited about Obamacare. To me, this means that they are scared to death that something bad is going to happen to their precious little law that Obama passed that is well over 2,500 pages long and that no one was supposed to know anything about until, well, you remember what Nancy Pelosi had to say about that one. that was one of those things that was amazing to behold. And I just have to play this one. If it ever
starts. But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Yeah. And the funny part about that is I got that one from a video. And in this video, she's up there just a smiling as big as can be, just like as if what she is saying there is the greatest bit of news that she could possibly hand to the American people. You remember that, don't you? I'm sure that you do. But a lot of people have said it sounds like Iran-Contra. To me, I think it's probably a little worse, Blackburn said in a video interview with Blaze contributor Mallory Factor, who noted the difference to Iran-Contra, where Oliver North raised funds for organizations he did not regulate. And remember, the left really went up in arms about that one. But about this one, of course, you know, it's one of their people, so they're not interested. As reported by Washington Post earlier this month, Sebelius has been calling on health industry officials to make large financial donations to help implement Obamacare after Congress reportedly rejected administration requests for additional funding. Now, how about that one? Enroll America, a nonprofit group that the Post reports many of Sebelius' calls have gone to, is led by a former White House staffer. Blackburn told The Blaze that scandals have snowballed through Obama years and now coming to a head with the controversy surrounding the administration's actions leading up to and after the September 11, 2012 attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi. The Department of Justice is caught surveilling lawful media outlets like the Associated Press and Fox News. the Internal Revenue Service targeting conservative groups in this latest controversy with Sebelius and HHS. And then I also left out there the CBS one. It seems like they have been targeting not only conservative groups and conservative things, but they've also been going after their own too. ABC and CBS are two of the biggest liberal things that you could possibly want. And things really haven't changed over the years. It's just, to me, really amazing that we have all this going on. In the full interview with The Blaze, Representative Blackburn talks about a new piece of cybersecurity legislation that she has introduced called the Secure It Act. Now the American people are pushing Democrats in the Senate to work with Republicans on a budget. How Obamacare is destroying jobs in her district and the latest progress on the Keystone Pipeline. This is fun, huh? Good afternoon and welcome to the new Wise Conservatism radio show heard here on Blog Talk Radio through the Conservative Nation Radio Network at conservativenationradio.org. The number to call in and talk on the show is 718-305-7176. Call in and join the discussion. And now, we are having so much fun, I think, anyway. Okay, there's a new pope. But there's no confirmation yet that the Holy Father will be a weekly guest on the Warrior Catholic. Well, that's wrong. dang. 3W3. Okay, WP. Conservatives respect pioneers. I'm sorry. I'm kind of totally out of it this afternoon. I don't know why. It's. I think that I feel like I just woke up, but I haven't. Conservatives respect pioneers, and Brenda Ward has been with conservativenationradio.org since the very beginning. Michelle Malkin, Laura Ingraham, Ann Coulter, and Monica Crowley have nothing on the women patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing, who is in my chat room today again. Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central is the place to hear from real women who are real patriots, so let your voice be heard. Incidentally, conservative guys are welcome at our very own B&B too. Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing on the conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. We are in the process now of working out my brain lapses here. French soldier stabbed in the neck in Paris. Yeah, this whole thing I think is going all over the world, and it's I think an unintended or it may be an intended consequence of what Obama has been doing. It seems that no matter what seems to be going on now, it all stems from the fact that Obama and the left went too far and started to blame their own media for some of their problems. And the problem and the trouble for Obama administration is the scandals just keep coming and coming. And there is more, folks. Hello, Lady Michelle. Good to see you there. Right on the horizon, because Obama doesn't seem to get it, that the American people are not behind him and his policies. And I know that at times I hear the media say that he needs to realize what is going on. But, hey, folks. He is giving us all a gift here, and it's time that we here on the right begin to realize that this kind of gift doesn't come along very often. Obama is completely into himself and doesn't think that he can be for something that we also do not want. He thinks that we have to be there, you know, with him. That's just the way he is. He doesn't really care. He doesn't want to know what's going on. He doesn't really give a damn.
There's smile fades and starts to erase all the gloom. And the sun with a kiss begins to dismiss the memory of my life without you.
What does it take to...
Yeah. Didn't mean to do that.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad. When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I did a post on my blog probably about 2008, I think, and I named it One Economy, Two Spins on Them. And even though I did this that long ago, it seems like exactly, you know, what was going on then is still going on. I put One Economy, Two Spins, Economic Conditions Portrayed as Positive During Clinton, Presented as Negative for Bush. And I go through in that a bunch of statistics that show that even though the unemployment was just about the same for both of them during the time that this survey and thing was going, the media reported it just exactly the opposite for Bush as it did for Clinton. It says here that now Clinton ran for re-election in the summer of 1996 under similar economic circumstances as Bush, where the press consistently gave a negative press about perceived poor job creation and unemployment in the summer of 2004, but their reports were overwhelmingly positive when President Clinton ran for re-election in the summer of 1996 under similar economic circumstances. The media has consistently criticized the Bush record, minimizing 13 straight months of positive job growth and creation, more than 1.5 million new jobs in 2004, and an unemployment rate that dropped from 6.3% to 5.4%. That's a pretty good drop. But the media didn't want to talk about that. And it still does the same dang thing. Now, when Clinton got in contrast, the media consistently hailed the Clinton record of 7 straight months of positive job creation and more than 2 million jobs in 1996 and an unemployment rate that dropped from 5.8 to 5.2. The analysis was completed by the Media Research Center's Free Market Project. It focused on TV news coverage the day of or newspaper coverage the day after the release of the unemployment and job creation reports during the summer re-election seasons in 1996 and 2004. The 10 employment situation reports, five from May through September each year, came out the month following their survey date. FMP researchers analyzed ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, Washington Post, the New York Times, and their findings included these: Clinton good, Bush bad. Stories about jobs during Bill Clinton's reelection campaign were positive 85% of the time, more than six times as often as they were for Bush, despite similar economic data. Reporters praised the Clinton unemployment rate of 5.6% as low, but they downplayed a 5.4% rate under Bush and called the job growth anemic. And it amazes me that we can have this kind of thing going on in the media, and it's been going on for a long time. That post I did, I think it was in 2007, late 2007 is when I did that, and or maybe eight, I don't know, I can't remember. But I found it on my computer this morning, and it just amazed me because we have exactly the same things going on. During the last years of the Bush administration, before Obama got in, Bush had, I think, 5.6 or 5.4% unemployment. And when Obama came in, unemployment skyrocketed, and it went up to as much as 10.6, I think, is what the highest it was, according to governmental statistics that they throw out for us, which I think are absolutely completely wrong and biased in the direction of the Democrats. But I think if Obama had been a Republican and a conservative Republican, first off, I don't think he'd have made it to the presidency because, you know, black conservatives just don't exist. And if they do, then they're wrong, and that's all there is to it. But I think, if Obama had become president under the banner of a conservative Republican, and unemployment had gone from 5.8, I think is what it was when he took office, to 10.6 before it started coming down a little bit, they'd have crucified him. The media would have crucified him. The everybody in the government would have crucified him. People would have been up against him, and he would not have won a second term, period. There would have been no freaking chance in the world. But because he is a liberal darling of the left set, and he has socialism coursing through his blood, they think he's the greatest thing since peanut butter and grape jelly. And I it's amazing to me that we allow this kind of thing to happen. And don't get me wrong here, we do allow this. Because if we didn't, he would never have been elected in the first place, and Harry Reid would have been gone a long time ago, and Nancy Pelosi would have been gone a long time ago. These are things that the people are allowing to continue. One of the things I started on before the commercial break was that Obama and the left do not think that they are for something that the rest of us are not. You know, how, and all I can say on that one is how wrong can they be? I also mentioned that the right needs to stop and realize that the Obama administration has given us a big gift. And the gift keeps coming, so we shouldn't waste it. And we still have time, folks. From WesternJournalism.com comes this article titled, What scandals? Obama tries tacking to terror drones and Gitmo. An article written by Andrew Malcolm of Investors.com. He says, nice try by President Obama to change the national subject of intense public discussion from his serial scandals to his war. No, wait, he prefers fight against terrorism. In an hour-long speech of nearly 7,000 words, interrupted by a persistent heckler, the former Real Good Talker reminded his audience of the National Defense University, whose mission is to study war, that the United States has constitutional principles that have survived many years during more than two centuries. No kidding. And that having fought for our independence, we know a price must be paid for freedom. Strange words indeed coming out of the mouth of an alleged constitutional law lecturer and president whose Internal Revenue Service has been illegally targeting and intimidating Americans of a certain contrary political persuasion, or whose FBI has been checking the communications of professional journalists despite the First Amendment and labeling one of them as a criminal co-conspirator in order to access his private communications and his parents' home phones. Now, folks, here is where we have to remember, if one amendment falls, the rest will fall too. None of this, none of which this chief executive admits to knowing anything about, because he's apparently out of the loop with everything except the successes of SEAL Team 6. And I found an article this week about SEAL Team 6 too. Apparently now Biden is being blamed for the deaths of some of SEAL Team 6 because after their mission to take out Osama bin Laden, he went on television and started touting all about SEAL Team 6. Well, before this, the Navy SEALs were pretty much a secret organization, to put it fairly bluntly. Not many people knew about them, but they were the ones who went in covertly and did things that other troops never could do, and they did it successfully because no one knew about them. I mean, there were, you know, there was talk about it and all this stuff, but for the most part, people didn't know about the SEAL teams. You know, all the talk was about, you know, the Air Force or the Marines or the Army or the Navy. And every once in a while somebody had mentioned a SEAL team. But nothing about what they did and how they trained and all the great stuff that, you know, they kept secret so that they'd be able to do their jobs without being subjected to more danger than they already were. Then Biden goes on national television and talks about them, telling everybody just exactly what they did and how they did it. And after that, we had several members of SEAL Team 6 get killed. And the article that I found actually blames Biden for this, which I hope that I really hope that that continues, because, you know, he should have known better. In his position, he should have known better to say anything about that. They don't have to. They know they're not supposed to. And he should have just kept his freaking mouth shut. But then again, I don't think any one of them in the White House right now has the ability to keep their mouths shut. And I had put here that I have more on SEAL Team 6 for later on in the show, if I can get to them. And out of everything that I've collected for this show, there actually is way too much to even get to talking about the SEALs. But we have a true aneurysm going on here in America at the top of our government, and it is bleeding like a stuck pig when it comes to things going wrong. And folks, it's no one's fault but the administration and the left, even though some on the right have helped make this continue. And the other thing that they are trying to do is keep this from snowballing even more on them, is the polls that they keep spouting out about, you know, that says most people agree with Obama and the way he is running this country. No matter what the truth really is, that one will still continue until they go into an election and lose lock, stock, and barrel like they should. And it's like I've said before here, folks, over the past weeks, the amount of stuff out there about how Obama should be impeached has grown from a tiny little trickle to a flowing flood. But I still say that impeachment probably will never happen. And even Rush the other day said that it would not be something that would be good. And I didn't hear his reasonings on that. I think it would be good. I just don't think it'll happen. Obama reminds me a lot of an old gangster that I used, growing up, I used to hear of a gangster whose name was, they called him Teflon Don. Because he seemed to, it seemed that nothing he did would get him in trouble. And that's how it seems with Obama. He still has his protection up and going, and he still has most of his media covering for him, though they haven't figured out how to counter what networks like The Blaze and Conservative Nation Radio and Rush Limbaugh and others have done to them. Because it's something that's never been done before. Never say never. Thanks for the positive note there, Barbara. But the thing that has got the liberal machine in a tizzy right now is the fact that the right has suddenly found a media that they can use to reach millions of people. His lady Michelle says he's only half black and wasn't Slick Willie the first black president. Yeah, I remember that. How they considered Clinton the first black president. And I shook my head at that one too back then, but it, you know, that's something that now, you know, that they have finally got, you know, themselves a supposed black president that, you know, now the idea that Clinton himself said he was the first black president, well, that would make Obama the second, even though neither one of them is fully black. But I digress. I've got to go to a couple of other things here. I've kind of over talked a little bit. Let's see, LifeLock. ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio.org. That's all one word. And click on the LifeLock banner. Ain't we having fun? Okay.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us. But it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but
things started picking up. We had big plans. But in our wildest dreams, we never, never thought we'd have this much work.
Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
I don't believe it. My savings are gone.
Okay, think. Where'd you have them last?
I was home, then I spent them on that vacation and this tiny suit of armor. Now they're gone.
Weird. Weird? Not really. Not saving now means no money later. Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org. Oh, I broke his little gauntlet.
Oh, no.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
I love that. Feed the pig. Okay. But, you know, that's the thing that we have to realize here. It seems that no matter how hard we try, the GOP cannot get their hands around the idea that the Obama administration and the left have handed us such a huge prize. And we have to realize this, folks. We really freaking do. If we let this one go, it's going to be a long damn time before they give us this much again. And they have handed us this prize when it comes to beating them at the polls and the ballot boxes. And it is time that the GOP started doing something about this. This one even hit the media this week in an article from Western Journalism written by Steve McCann, I think was his name. It was McCann. He came with this article titled, "Don't Blow the Opportunity Obama Has Given Us." And he says, it appears the Republican Party establishment and some conservative commentators have come up with another mistaken tactic to woo the low information and undecided voters. With the avalanche of scandals swirling around the Obama administration and the Democratic Party, the political message promoted by these politicians and pundits is that these scandals are the outcome of a government that has grown too large to control and should therefore be dramatically cut. The Republican Party landscape is littered with the carcasses of failed strategies, and this approach will also not succeed. First, it is nearly impossible to explain in simple and easily understood terms why the government is too large. I don't agree with that. It's easy to understand. Obama grew it. The Democrats like big government, and when they're in power, they grow government like it's going out of style. There's nothing that says that that's hard to understand. But he goes on to say, second, while there is no question that the government must get smaller, the exponential growth of government is not the cause of the scandals. No, it really isn't. It's because of stupidity, myself, you know, it's what I think. Rather, it too is an end product of a process whose origin is based and easily grasped. The American founding fathers understood that government expands and becomes tyrannical, not because it is inherently corrupt, but government, because of its unique role in the affairs of a nation, can easily be transformed into an overwhelming instrument of oppression and self-aggrandizement. That transformation occurs over an extended period of time, primarily as a consequence of political and national leaders who are devoid of character, honor, integrity, seeking to amass power and ego gratification, regardless of the long-term implications to the well-being and the future of the country. Now, isn't that the truth? He goes on to say that this process, while slowly evolving over the past 80 years, has hit the crisis point with the most corrupt and ideological administration in American history, coupled with the massive infiltration of government agencies and mainstream media by those motivated by ideology, greed, and narcissism. Thus, the scandals presently monopolizing the headlines are not the direct result of out-of-control government, but the near total lack of ethics, honesty, and integrity among those in government and increasingly throughout society in general. And, you know, he hit on some points there that are just absolutely just completely true. So you see, folks, it is time that we started pushing harder on the Republican Party to make sure that they stay the path that we want them to. They have been caving to the Democrats for too long now, and the time has come for them to stop doing that. And my friends, they still are. This one from WorldNet Daily yesterday, and the subtitle of it said, "Feud Erupts Over Threats to Change Senate Rules." And the headline of it and the title of it was "McCain, Tea Party Colleagues Pushing Dems Too Far." And this is something I expect out of McCain. He says he is a conservative, but he's about as conservative as Reagan was liberal. Of course, at one time Reagan was, but he changed. The article from the Washington AP says, "A long simmering feud between establishment Republicans and Tea Partiers broke into full view Thursday with Senator John McCain accusing younger colleagues of overplaying their hands and tempting Democrats to change Senate rules that protect the minority party. Tactics for dealing with the government's budget and debt became the latest quarrel in a string of them between McCain, who is sometimes joined by other traditionalist Republicans," and this is what the article said. I wouldn't call them traditionalist. I would call them mainstream. "And a Tea Party champion such as Ted Cruz of Texas, Rand Paul of Kentucky, and Mike Lee of Utah, and Marco Rubio of Florida. These four won Senate seats by defying the party establishment and are shaking up the tradition-bound Senate with no compromise, no apology stands on key issues like debt and deficits, government spending, and the use of drones in the war on terrorism." And hello, Ty. Glad to see you there. So you see, my friends, we have to stay vigilant. And you've heard that freedom is kept by always being vigilant, and this is so true. But we have the problem of the media refusing to admit that we are up against here. And I bring this up because the end of that article mentioned using drones in the war on terrorism, which the left has a tendency not to want to talk about. In this story from the Jersey City, New Jersey, from ABC, I have this report.
Gruesome double murder mystery tonight in New Jersey. Police say who did it isn't the mystery. Someone's under arrest, in fact. The mystery, they say, is why the accused killer, and this is the gruesome part, cut off two men's heads and hands. The victims are reportedly from Jersey City, but their remains were found buried in a town southwest of Philadelphia. I would assume Jeff Begays with the story. He's in Jersey City for us. Jeffrey?
Yeah, Bill, shock and sadness in this community tonight. People who know the victims say they are recent immigrants from Egypt, 25, 27-year-old roommates who worked hard to send money back to family in Egypt. How they died isn't a mystery tonight. Why they were murdered is. On the streets of Jersey City along Bergen Avenue, to the naked eye, it's not obvious, but to members of the close-knit Coptic Orthodox Church, the pain is real.
It's a shock. You know what I mean? Like, something like this don't happen to people like that.
Now that they know two members of this church have been brutally murdered, but no one in this community seems to know why.
It was crazy what happened to these two, and do they deserve it? No. Was it expected? Never. And that's just sad.
The two victims, identified by friends as Hani Tawadros and Amdad Kundis, were found buried in a backyard in Buena Vista, New Jersey, last Thursday. Today, police announced the arrest. 28-year-old Yusuf Ibrahim is in custody.
Numerous state police personnel and multiple other agencies worked tirelessly to bring about a quick arrest and a substantial body of evidence in this crime.
Investigators say Ibrahim shot and killed the victims, severed their heads and hands, and buried the remains at a Buena Vista house. Back in Jersey City, friends of the victims are praying that police will have the answers to the questions that now haunt them. Privately, some here wonder if it had something to do with the victims' religion.
They leave it for the detective and the investigation.
So far, police have not revealed a motive for the grisly murders as the suspect sits behind bars, waiting for his day in court.
Now, the thing that catches me on this is the authorities in New Jersey alleged a Muslim man beheaded two Coptic Christians. And this was part of the text that came along with this. But in that audio that I just played, they did not mention Coptic Christians. They said the Coptic Evangelist Church. And, of course, that pretty much says the same thing. But they still have a hard time talking about what is really going on here. And this is what I think really is giving this nation a lot of problems. They say here that that the Muslim man beheaded two Coptic Christians, burying their bodies and heads and hands in separate graves near Philadelphia, bringing the horror of persecution of Christians in Islamic nations to the United States. Now, that mentions it, but in the audio, it didn't. So according to New York's ABC TV, the Muslim was identified as Yusuf Ibrahim, 28, and he was taken into custody after the bodies were found. The report said investigators alleged Ibrahim killed the victims and severed their heads and hands and buried the remains in the backyard of a home in Buena Vista, New York, New Jersey, and they called it Buena Vista. In the report, not one mention of this possibly being Islamic is even mentioned, except for in the text. In the audio, I didn't hear anything about Christian either, only Coptic Orthodox Church is what they said. As long as our media has trouble saying what is happening and leaving out the words that should be there, we will always have a problem here in America with our war on terror. And we will always lose because we are too afraid to mention why we are at war. And the whole thing about this whole, you know, this bit about being at war is people we are. That's just, you know, there's no two ways around that one. Okay, join Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern for, I think it was supposed to be on my list. It said 4 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central, so it should be 3 Central for Radio Free America. Duke administers the Senator Joe McCarthy Facebook page, which is probably why NBC didn't hire him to fly a national network news helicopter. If you love history, politics, flying, and the occasional William F. Buckley quote, check out Duke Brooks on Radio Free America, Wednesdays at 4 p.m., 3 p.m. Central, there it is, on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Yeah, okay.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism, 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Okay. We're having...
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
I was running through my stuff here and kind of noticed that I had some of the wrong things up. That first one was right, the second one was wrong, but that's okay, I guess. One of these days I will get everything the way it should be. But we are really having a problem here in the United States today, and it's mainly because of the fact that we have a government that doesn't really even care about what the people want. They don't think the people are smart enough to know what they want. And doing this show and doing my blog and doing my videos, I found out that there are a lot of people out here that know what is going on, that do not like what is going on, and know what needs to be done to make this country the place that it used to be. It seems like the people that know what needs to be done are not in Washington. Obama, I think, is, for lack of a better word, is a clueless wonder. He does not have any idea what it is going to take to bring America out of the doldrums that we have found ourselves in. And it's, to me, it's pretty clear that it's the policies of the government that we have in Washington that we have elected is what has put us here. Now, it's true that economies fluctuate. They go up and down. They do, you know, we know that no matter what the government does, there are times when the economy will do good, and there are other times when the economy won't. And a lot of it has to do with world stuff too. But when we have a president and a Congress that is actively working to keep this country down, then we can really look at this whole thing and say, oh, okay, this is what's causing this. And we all can actually look back now on the New Deal, I think it was called, when America was in the Great Depression. It has now been figured out through the lens of time that if the government would have stayed out of that, we'd have come out of that a lot sooner than we actually did. And we never seem to learn. Yeah, and I have somebody in my chat room that I've never seen before, and he made a really good point here. He says, when industry vanishes, so does a nation. It is the industrial engine that really drives the nation's economy. It's not the government. It's not Obama. It's not Reid. It's not Pelosi. It's not any of those people. As a matter of fact, right at the moment, they're the ones who are causing it to pretty much vanish because they're putting in so many regulations and things that we have industry leaving this country at a faster rate than it's showing up. And even companies like mine, I have a little printing organization here in central Indiana where I live. And in the town that I live in, there are no printing shops. There are none. I have got a monopoly in this. But I have no business, very little business. And with the taxes and regulations that are thrown at small business right now, it's not likely that under the current climate, I'm ever going to make it. Although I would love to, because printing has always been my first love. But government just seems to want to tell us one thing and then completely turn around and do just the opposite. They say they're for helping the small business, but if we really look at it, we find out that, no, they're not. They're doing everything they can to destroy a lot of the businesses. And Flycatch in the chat room said again, you know, Democrats use the people while Republicans build upon the citizens. And for the most part, that is true. There are some Democrats that are actually more conservative than some of the Republicans are. But what the Republicans have got going right now is they've got a new base of new people who have come in that really revere the Constitution and want to follow what the Constitution says. And right now there are not many in Washington that even I dare to say that there's not many in Washington that can come up and tell you what the Constitution actually says. Although they're always working to tear it down. Obama, if you remember, said one time that he didn't like the Constitution, that it was a flawed document because it limited too much what he could do to the people. And he said it that way. And then we elected the idiot. That just, some of the things that he said before he was elected just made me just shake my head in absolute shame after we elected him. He told us what he was going to do. He said that he was fundamentally going to change America. He said that. He told us that because of his economic policies, that gasoline prices and energy prices would necessarily skyrocket. And at that point in time, they were already too high. I just absolutely love watching some of the comments in my chat room. It's pretty good. But welcome again to the show. And we are right now in the process of getting ready to go to our second hour as I look to what I need to do here. I'm having so much fun.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
That's one of my favorite things. I love that one. Welcome again to Hour 2, which is just right now starting, of the new Wise Conservatism radio show. Again, you have your humble host, Robert the Infidel, with this hour of the show. If you wish to call in and join in the conversation today, call us at 718-305-7176. There is so much happening all over America now that I'm absolutely having no troubles putting together a show that lasts 2 hours. And it has to be said that before coming to Conservative Nation Radio, my shows were usually 30 minutes long. It was, and sometimes I even had problems putting together a 30-minute show. At that point in time, the Democrats weren't in high-speed mode to destroy this nation, although they really were, but they weren't doing it so out in the open that, it's, like I said before, it's giving us a gift, Flycatch says again, Obama is nothing more than a black Santa Claus who can refuse free stuff. And Lady Michelle says he ain't no Santa Claus. The Santa Claus I knew as a kid didn't steal from hardworking people. And Obama at the helm, he is steering us off the cliff. And the problem with that is that this is not by accident either. This is exactly what Obama had in mind when he first started, and he told us this. He told us that he was going to change America. He told us that that America was a flawed country, that America was not the good country that we all believe America to be. He told us America was not a Christian nation. Yeah, it is. If you wish to call in and join in on the discussion today, call in at 718-305-7176. I was talking about how I usually did a 30-minute long show for a short time, 1 hour, and for a short time, 1 hour. I had my doubts about doing a show more than that. But now things are different. It seems that the government is in high gear to give us everything we could possibly ask for here on the right, except for what the country really needs. In order to put a show together for telling the exposing the lies and the and the things that the government is doing against this country, it's not at all hard to do. Heck, you don't even have to go to Fox News or Rush Limbaugh or the Blaze Network or any of these other things that I normally go to. You can now go to ABC and CBS and NBC. Well, maybe not NBC. I haven't really heard anything about them turning against Obama. But even Piers Morgan the other day called them out. And you know how hard he's been fighting the right. But actually, anymore, a 3 to 4 hour show would still leave things unmentioned. That, I think, is the plan of the liberals and the government now. And that is to give us so much that we can't possibly cover it all. That plus they know the mainstream media will mostly not cover anything that sheds a bad light on Obama and on the left. And you notice, if you open your eyes, that when something starts getting out of hand for the administration, like the Benghazi thing or the IRS thing, which is hurting Obama and his administration more than he will let you know. He will suddenly come out with a speech like he did the other day, bringing up something else that he suddenly feels needs to be addressed. On that one, Fly, that is something that is probably true, but I am hoping that doesn't happen. I'm hoping that the House of Representatives stays the way it is. But usually what Obama brings up is something that has either dropped off the radar for the time being or is something that hasn't even become a topic yet and might not if he doesn't mention it. Then look out, the media will carry the ball for him after he mentions it. And it could be something stupid, you know, something that on the surface sounds, you know, real fuzzy and warm and cuddly, something that we need to pay attention to. And the media will jump on it and ride that pony right into the ring and just make a rodeo out of it. And suddenly, what is really important is put on the back burner, and all of a sudden we're talking about something that's not even important or nobody even thought about. The same thing happened with that video, the YouTube video. That was something nobody had heard about until the media started talking about it. Then all of a sudden it was big news for a few weeks, and even the administration said that the Benghazi attack was because of that video. Turns out it wasn't. And almost every change in their story since that point in time to a new storyline, the media will jump on and ride it like a pony until it is brought out by somebody that's not true either. And we're getting all of this stuff that's coming from the media that is not true at all. And nothing is said about it until it's brought out that it's a lie. Then it seems like everybody just kind of shrugs their shoulders and says, oh, well, that's Obama for you. And they go on like nothing happened. You know, if, and I've said this so many times before, if this had been a Republican president, all hell would have broken loose and we would have never heard the end of it. And even now, with it starting to come apart around his ears, we still have to search a little bit because some of the media just will not report it. No matter how big the story is, it used to be that the media, if they got their hands on a story that could be big, they all clamored for it. They wanted this story. They wanted the first rights to it. They wanted the first edition to it. They wanted to be the first ones to be out with this story. Now it's totally different. We have ourselves a media that will find something out. If it has to do with a Republican, they'll report it. They'll report it just as quickly as they can and not stop to find out if it's truth or not. But if it's a Democrat, they won't say a word until forced to.
Sometimes I want to light up underneath the no smoking sign. Sometimes I wish they'd tell me how justice got so blind. Just leave me alone, 'cause I'm doing all right. You can take your change on down the road and leave me.
No matter how much I try to say this kind of thing, you know, the problems that America is having right now will not cease until we decide en masse that the ones who are not following the Constitution and the ones who are not doing what the people want and who are doing what they think they need to do to keep the country going the way it's going, this is going to continue to happen until we decide to vote them out of office. And now the topic in the chat room is now illegal immigration. And there's a lot here that's being said, you know. This whole thing about illegal immigrants, Flycatch said it exactly. They are a voting bloc for the Democrats. It's a big reason that they are going after them. It's a big reason they want them legalized. It's a big reason they want them able to vote. Because they will be a voting bloc for the Democrats. And half the time, I don't understand this kind of thinking, because you'd think that if somebody is trying to do something that you patently know is something that will destroy a nation, why would you follow them? It just makes me really sad that that people can be so lazy. And I think that's the only word I can really use on this, that, you know, they will have the government give them free things, okay? And as they get all these free things, they think, this is great. I get all this free stuff from the government. They don't stop to think that without people who are working and without income taxes, the government has no money to give anybody. And once the government has given all the money that they have and then decide that they're going to give even more when they don't have it, that's when problems start. And our problem has been starting for 80 years now, even more probably. I found an article, was about that Oklahoma tornado, and it was from WND.com, and the headline was, above the headline it says, out of left field, and the headline said, after Oklahoma tornado, thank the government. And it was written by David Sirota, I think it was earlier this morning. And he said, we need the state if America is going to remain a truly civilized society. He put, within hours of this week's tornado disaster in Oklahoma, this is something I started the show with, actually. This was the story that I started the show with. He said that, like many others, received emails from the President of the United States and his U.S. Senator with impassioned language that they both claim to care deeply about yet another community devastated by a cataclysm. Now, it seems that, you know, this whole thing about the left not letting a calamity go to waste is more true than not. And if something bad happens to somebody, it's like the left and even some on the right jump up in glee and clap their hands and say, yay, we got something else we can do here. America needs to open their eyes. I started noticing a trend back when Hurricane Katrina happened. Because during the Hurricane Katrina thing, New Orleans government sat and waited to do anything. And they waited for the federal government to show up. And I remember Bush was castigated because he flew over the area before anything was done, instead of sending help out immediately, which he eventually did. He sent out, he actually called the Mayor Nagin of New Orleans. He actually called him and asked if help was needed, and the mayor told him no. And the news media totally ignored that point, of course, because, you know, the president was a Republican, and their idea on that kind of thing is to destroy him. So they only reported that Bush didn't go in when it was needed, and he didn't go in as fast as he should have, even though he was told that help wasn't needed. And then later on in the year, there was this great big huge snowstorm that hit the northern tier of the United States, and I-90 was pretty much closed down through north and south Dakota or up in that area. A lot of people were stranded. And from that area, there were no calls for government to help. There was no call saying, oh, we're going to die if the government doesn't get in here. The people went out and started helping themselves. And to me, that is more in line of what America is all about. Okay. I have somebody in the chat room that says there's too many people like you, and he's talking to one of the guys in the chat room, which is why a lot of the Republican Party was ousted in the last election. People like you, Flycatch, who don't really live in reality. Facts apparently don't apply to you. The problem comes in that one, because the facts, I think, don't apply to the Democrats. Facts seem to be something that the Democrats like to ignore. We have a bunch of stuff going on here that we want to talk about, but usually can't, and I need to stop for a little bit. Got a break here. The leftist media would like conservatives like us to think we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness, but don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls, even by the liberals. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TradAM, as we call our home. Traditionalamericanmovement.com, that's one word, Traditional American Movement, is the place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up and find out what's happening and be part of the conservative revolution. All on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That's www.traditionalamericanmovement.com. I hope to see you there soon. TradAm is a liberal free website.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number 3 RD lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Higgin Resch sent you. thethirdlantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. Other groundbreaking ideas from that time, the whalebone corset, the pedal-operated submarine, and the two-story outhouse. We've come a long way since then. It's time our light bulbs did the same. Visit energysavers.gov and learn about energy-saving light bulbs. See, these new bulbs are more efficient than the old ones, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. They last longer, too. Like how we humans last longer now that doctors use antibiotics instead of leeches. And they cut down on our energy costs. Because in our own groundbreaking age of aeroplanes and moving pictures, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
I'm actually kind of glad that... that Duke isn't here today. I kind of running a couple minutes late on that. commercial break. I found another article here, WND.com, titled Lead Up to Fatal FBI Shooting in Orlando Still Unclear. It was published 7 hours before I picked it up this afternoon. But the article was from WOLF TV. It said an FBI incident review team from Washington, D.C. is in Orlando today, a day after a Russian man who knew Boston Marathon bombing suspect Tamerlan Tsarnaev was shot dead by an agent. Federal and central law enforcement agencies are still collecting and processing evidence from the shooting scene at the condominium complex in Peregrine Avenue near Kirkman Road and Universal Orlando, where Ibrahim Tadashev was shot early Wednesday. I guess that's his name. I'm not really good at some of these names. Initially, FBI officials said that the man who was shot, 27, became violent and lunged at an agent with a knife while he was being questioned about Tsarnaev and an unsolved 2011 triple murder in the Boston suburb of Waltham. The agent, acting on an imminent threat, then shot Tadashev, they said. However, later in the day, some of those officials had backed off that preliminary account, and it's no longer clear what happened in the moments before the fatal shooting, Associated Press reported. And I have had that article that was from WND, and I also found the article that was posted in, I'm not really sure where the other one was posted. It was also a WND thing. But this... We have got so many things happening right now. A lot of people shooting other people with guns, and I can't help but wonder if this is all part of the idea to get rid of guns in our nation altogether. You know, we have a shooting, and then all of a sudden we have the gun activists coming up and saying, oh, we've got to get rid of guns because if we get rid of guns, then people will stop being shot, when they know that is not true. But we are having so many of these things now. It's almost like it's being done to push the agenda. And I know it probably isn't, but you can't help but wonder sometimes when this kind of thing just seems to just explode on the scene, and all of a sudden there's guns and shooting everywhere. Another one that I had found was an article about Trey Gowdy, who is a representative of a Republican of South Carolina, who became a viral sensation on Wednesday with his tough questioning of former IRS head Doug Shulman during a House hearing on the IRS targeting conservatives. And this is going back to that again. And if you liked him then, you may love him today, after he delivered an interview where he was able to sneak in a Jack Bauer reference. Lois Lerner, the IRS official at the center of the increasingly serious IRS scandal, caused a stir on Wednesday after she declared her innocence before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee and then invoked her Fifth Amendment right to remain silent. Well, that right there brings me to another question. If she's innocent, why does she need to invoke the Fifth Amendment? To me, that right there just screams out, I'm guilty, but I don't want to be found out. it bears asking, if you're innocent, why invoke the Fifth on this? If you're innocent, you have nothing to fear. But, it goes on to say that she steadily refused to answer the committee's questions and was later excused from the hearing by Congressman Daryl Issa, Republican of California. However, Lerner's decision to claim innocence in her opening remarks has raised some people's questioning whether she accidentally waived her Fifth Amendment right. Gowdy, which this article was about in the first place, he said, you don't get to say, I didn't rob the bank, but I'm not going to answer the prosecutor's questions. Gowdy, a former federal prosecutor, explained in an interview Thursday morning, that would never happen. He continued by saying, let's play this out. Let's assume he brings her back. I promise she's not going to make the same mistake today that she made yesterday. She's going to invoke, you can't make someone talk unless your name is Jack Bauer. You can't force some to talk, Gowdy continued. You can't make people talk unless you're about your will to do what Jack Bauer does. Jack Bauer is the main character in the Fox hit TV series 24, a drama action about counterterrorism in the United States. So are we going to hold her in contempt? He goes on to say, are we going to put her in jail? Are we going to offer her immunity, which I would not be a fan of? Or are we going to try to build a case without using her testimony, the congressman asked. Gowdy continued, adding that these questions will be reviewed and answered at the chairman speaker level. It's like I said before, we have so much going on here that unless you're watching what's going on, you're not going to know half of what's happening. And when somebody like Obama comes out and throws in a new wrinkle in the whole mix, you're not going to know. I watch what's going on, and there's still a lot that gets past me and I don't know about. It's amazing to me that I sit and watch the news probably 6, 7, 8 hours a day on a good day, maybe even more. And I still miss a lot. I miss a lot. And I just, it's hard to understand, but because of everything that's going on, I know why so many people don't know what is going on in this nation.
Remember when your neighbor found us naked in the car, and the time some outdoor action got us kicked out of the park, getting frisky in the dark.
up on sex. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices and put the bogus myths to bed at Bedsider.org. Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Whoa!
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Join Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern. Oh, wait, I'm reading the wrong one. Conservatives like to be predictable, dependable, and reliable. And like true anchors they are, Michael Smith and Bing Fisher are still roll out Soldiers of Patriotism Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. Hey, wouldn't it be conservativenationradio.org without Michael B. and Uncle Bing, would it? Don't miss our signature show, Soldiers of Patriotism, Sundays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on the conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatives, real conservatism for real conservatives. I finally did that. I've been doing everything I can to not do that. I got a letter from Senator Ted Cruz the other day. And in it, he said, this was dated May 21st. He said, "Greetings. Yesterday, a massive tornado devastated part of Oklahoma. Tragically, lives were lost, hundreds were injured, and still many more are left homeless. I'd like to ask you to join me in helping keeping the victims in your thoughts and prayers. If you'd like to help those who have been affected, please click here and find out what you can do." And there was a link there. He said, "Last week we learned more disturbing details about IRS targeting conservative, Tea Party, pro-Constitution, and pro-Israel groups for additional scrutiny and audits. This is the latest in a series of power grabs by the Obama administration that further erode the public trust in the government. We must ensure those responsible are held accountable, simplify and shorten our tax code, and dramatically reduce the IRS's scope of power in our lives so this kind of political intimidation never happens again. In addition, the Senate Judiciary Committee considered more amendments to the immigration reform bill, and Philadelphia abortionist Dr. Kermit Gosnell was convicted and sentenced. I hope you keep reading and find out more, and then share the news on Facebook and Twitter." He sent a bunch of videos along with it on different things. He even talked about strengthening border security and improved illegal immigration, which it really needs to be done. I have lived down there in the Southwest, and that border is so open, it's just really scary. And with all this talk that we have about the open borders down there, we just got to know that that information has not stayed here in the United States. It just hasn't. We got to know that our enemies know all about it. And we got to know that most likely some of them have even tried to find out for themselves. And we have to close our borders. That is just all there is to it. There's another article from ProPublica.org, and it was titled, IRS Office That Targeted Tea Party Also Disclosed Confidential Docs from Conservative Groups. And then it lists a few dates, May 20th and May 17th, where it talks about, I guess they have a show. But the article goes on to say the same IRS office that deliberately targeted three conservative groups applying for tax-exempt status in the run-up to the 2012 election released nine pending confidential applications of conservative groups to ProPublica late last year. The IRS did not respond to requests Monday following up that release, whether it had determined how the applications were sent to ProPublica. In response to a request for the applications for 67 different nonprofits last November, the Cincinnati office of the IRS sent ProPublica applications or documentation for 31 groups. Nine of those applications had not yet been approved, meaning they were not supposed to be made public. We made six of those public after redacting their financial information, deeming that they were newsworthy. On Friday, Lois Lerner, the head of that division on tax-exempt organizations, apologized to Tea Party and other conservative groups because the IRS Cincinnati office had unfairly targeted them. You know, I could read the rest of that article, but this whole thing comes down to a difference in the way the Democrats and the Republicans look at apologies. With the Republicans, an apology also usually means that in order for it to go away, the person has to step down from office, go away, and not be heard from again. But with the Democrats, an apology just means that, okay, we've apologized, we need to drop the subject so we can go on with what we are doing, and the person stays in office and nothing more happens to them. I have watched this kind of thing going on since early Ted Kennedy, and that's going back a ways. I have watched this kind of thing. It's like, you know, Ted Kennedy got away with murdering somebody in his car when it's been proven that he could have gone in and gotten her out. She lived for a while in there. But he went home, went to bed, didn't report it until the next morning, was driving on a suspended driver's license because he had no insurance. If he'd have been a Republican, he would have never stayed in office. He would have never been reelected. He would have probably been taken out of office. And there's many more of these things, you know, like Barney Frank ran a prostitution ring out of his basement while a senator. Tom Foley, a Republican, has an affair with a page and loses his office over it. This whole thing just reeks of my mind just goes blank when it comes to something like this. It is so patently wrong that it shouldn't happen at all, yet it does. And the differences between these offenses, like Tom Foley and Ted Kennedy, are like night and day. Where Ted Kennedy stayed in office until he died. But Tom Foley was ousted from office for his offense. Now, I think Tom Foley should have been ousted from office, but I also think that Ted Kennedy should have been too. We have such a double standard going in our government right now that it's totally amazing to me that nobody gets it. And for a long time, nobody did, because the media wouldn't report any of it. When the problems started coming in for things like this continuing to happen is when Rush Limbaugh and others started showing up and reporting what was really going on, when the media would just ignore it. Before that, when the media ignored it, we never found out about it. We never knew about it because nobody ever told anything about it. And I think right now that is where the problems are coming in for the Democrat Party, because they don't know how to handle being told the truth about. They haven't figured out how to counter that yet. And the key word here is yet. I keep talking about this gift that the Democrat Party has handed us, and we need to follow through on this, because they won't do it too many more times. They're going to figure out how to counter what we're doing. Once they do that, then the problems will start. And, you know, we really need to follow through on what is going on. I really think, because if we don't, we're going to lose this country. And even if you are a Democrat and don't like this country gives you freedoms that no other country in the world will ever give you. And that, you know, I got a thing in my chat room, the last comment was, that is how government works. And yeah, that's how government has worked for a long time. But that is the reason why it needs to be changed. Because we've been in a long tunnel and we're starting to see the light at the end of it. And the light is not a new day, is not a new beginning, but the end. We need to stop what is going on. And I have, you know, people saying things like, you know, in the chat room, one of the guys says that Obama is a boring puppet. I don't really believe he's a puppet. I believe that he's doing what others want him to do, true, but he's also doing what he wants himself to do. He believes the Constitution is a flawed document because it limits him too much on what he can do to the people, and he even said that. He knows what he's doing, and he's doing what he wants to do. And if he does what other people want him to do, it's only because it's still what he wants to do. And that's it. It's a sad state of affairs, I think. It really is.
Remember when your neighbor found us naked in the car, and the time some outdoor action got us kicked out of the
give up on sex. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices and put the bogus myths to bed at Bedsider.org. Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Okay, if anybody wants to call in, the number is 718-305-7176. I have pretty much gone through everything that I had set up for myself today. One of the things that I had found was an article that was in the Washington Times. The headline of it was "Democrats See Insanity." The article written by Tom Howell, Jr. of the Washington Times on Thursday, May 16th, said House Republicans cheered their vote on Thursday to repeal President Obama's health care law as a triumph of reason and public opinion over false promises from the White House. Democrats called them insane. The 229-195 decision marked the chamber's 37th attempt to rescind all or part of the Affordable Care Act of 2010. The vote split largely along party lines, which it usually is, and sends the bill to the Senate, where it is sure to die. The health care law has been a partisan flashpoint on Capitol Hill since Mr. Obama ushered the overhaul to passage. The Supreme Court decision to uphold key portions of the law and the president's reelection have done little to stem the bickering as major reforms inch toward implementation of in 2014. Republicans' repeated attempts to kill Mr. Obama's signature domestic achievement are symbolic, and I don't think they are, because they're doing what the people want. But he goes on to say that it's symbolic so long as Democrats control the upper chamber and the presidency. But with midterm elections in mind, new GOP members in this Congress were eager to put a vote to repeal Obamacare on their political resumes. Is the House here this week spending millions of dollars of taxpayer money to repeal the Affordable Care Act because it actually believes that will occur while President Obama is in the White House, or because freshman members want to score political points back home, Representative Jared Polis, Colorado Democrat, said during the debate. One by one, Republican lawmakers on Thursday said the law would kill jobs, allow the government to seize health records, and make America seem like an Eastern European country. They decried the law's potential to send premium soaring, its slate of new taxes and mandates that they are violating religious beliefs. But while the repeal bills meet dead ends inside the Capitol, they would resonate outside Washington. Critics of the law often point to polls that show many Americans support a repeal or do not understand how the reforms might benefit them. Next year, the majority of states will expand Medicare enrollment within their borders because of the law, and many Americans without employer-based insurance will be able to shop for health plans at state-based insurance markets. Open enrollment in exchanges begins October 1st for the coverage that takes effect January 1st. Democrats said GOP's politically futile attempts are in step with Albert Einstein's definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over but expecting a different result. And it's funny that they hit us with that, because that is exactly what they have been doing ever since I can remember. They know that it's been proven that lowering taxes brings in more revenue. But when it comes to bringing in more revenue, they still say that raising taxes is what will do it. And it doesn't. Reagan proved that when he lowered taxes during his administration. We had 20 years of good economy because of that. Brought in more money than had ever been brought in before. And yet still the Democrats will tell us that lowering taxes will do nothing but cause stops in everything from new programs to existing programs to tours of the White House by children. And on that one, the list goes on and on. Which shows me that no matter how much the truth is actually shown out there, a lot of people still won't see it. And a lot of people will still try to push their ideal through finding things in the media that will support what they say. And usually it comes from a site that is liberal to beat the band. And the problem there is that 9 times out of 10, the Republicans say nothing. But I am noticing a change. I am noticing that more and more people are actually getting what's going on. More and more people have decided to stop following the lemming leaders over the cliff and opt for stopping and looking around and seeing what is actually going on. And that is something that I'm happy to see. Because for so long, the American people followed along with everything that happened and just figured, well, that's just the government. That's what they do. And the government took that hint as, yeah, that's what we do, and we're going to continue to do it. Thankfully, that is stopping because we finally got a media that is starting to tell the truth. And like I said before, the Democrats have not figured out how to counter that yet. It's a hard one to counter when what is being told is the truth and it's finally getting out there. And I love it. It's great. It's great to finally see what is really going on, actually hitting the new airwaves, actually being out there, actually being heard by people. Because I remember before 1984, stuff like what is going on now was never heard by anybody because the mainstream media would not talk about it. And for the longest time, they got away with it because there was nobody out here who would actually tell what is really going on and try to find out what is really going on if they didn't know. Then the internet showed up and we were able to get average people who just have a small home and a little building who can get a hold of a computer and do a show. And it's heard everywhere. If they can get that show to be heard by a lot of people, they could be heard by people on the other side of the world. And that is a great medium, folks. One of the reasons why I do this show, even though this show is not heard by a whole hell of a lot of people. My hope is someday I'll say something that will go viral and that will be it. Probably won't happen. But hey, it's a dream. It's also a love for this country that I have, that I want this country to succeed. And I'm tired of it not succeeding because of the leaders that we have in Washington. This is Robert the Infidel with this edition of the new Wise Conservatism radio show. I'm out of time. And I hope that you all come back next week at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, as I will put together another show. Hopefully next week I'll be feeling better and I'll be able to be more myself next week. I'm glad that all of you showed up today. I'm glad that there were some people in the chat room this week. Thank you for all of the good little tidbits that you gave me in the chat room. And I hope to see everybody next week. And God bless you all. God bless America. God bless our troops. Have a great week. Have a profitable week. Talk to you next week.
God bless you all.